Chapter 16. Justice. 1 minute later, Tess and Angel both woke with the feeling that someone had been there. "It's going to be a fine day. I think we should leave immediately," he said, staring out over the garden. Tess quietly agreed. They picked up their things and left the mansion. When they were under the trees, she turned to take a last look at it.
"Ah, happy house! Goodbye," Tess said. "I know my life can only last a few more weeks. Why couldn't we stay there?"
"Don't say it, Tess," Angel told her. "We will continue our journey north. No one will think of looking for us there. Then we will find a port." She agreed to follow his plan. Their long rest had made them strong, and by the middle of the day, they were approaching the city of Melchester. They decided to rest in some trees until darkness came. In the evening, Angel bought more food. Then they continued through the empty streets and onwards, until they reached wide open land. The sky was now thick with black cloud, and a strong wind blew. After another 2 or 3 miles, Angel suddenly saw a dark shape rise before them.
"What terrible place is this?" he said.
Then he listened to the low moan of the wind. Finally, he moved forward and touched the shape. It was a huge stone. He turned and realized there was another one next to it, and then another, making a circle. Some stones were standing and some were on their sides.
"It's Stonehenge," he said, "older than the d'Urbervilles.
Well, what shall we do, darling? Shall we go on?" But Tess was very tired by now. She lay down on a long stone that was still warm from the day's sun.
"I don't want to go further, Angel," she said, reaching out for his hand. "Can't we rest here?"
He knelt down next to her and put his lips on hers. Then he put his coat over her.
"I like it here," she whispered. "It is so quiet and bleak. After my great happiness, I wish there were no other people in the world but us two, and Liza Lou."
For a long time, they listened to the sound of the wind blowing through the stones. Then she said,
"Angel, if anything happens to me, will you look after Liza Lou for me?"
"I will.
She is so good and simple and pure, and she is becoming so beautiful. I would be happy to share you with her. Oh, I wish you would marry her if you lose me."
She was quiet after that. In a minute or two, her breathing slowed and her hand dropped from his. She was asleep. Slowly the wind died, and the sky in the east grew pale. At the same time, something seemed to move from beyond the stones. Finally, the head of a man came into view, then more men, all wearing uniforms.
"Don't try to escape, sir," said a voice. "There are 16 of us here, and the whole country is looking for you."
"Please, let her finish sleeping," Angel said, as the policeman came nearer.
When they saw where she lay, they allowed it and stood watching her. Angel bent over her, holding one poor little hand. Her breathing was now quick and fast. All waited in the growing light. Soon the sun was strong, falling on her eyes and waking her.
"What is it, Angel?" she said, sitting up. "Have they come for me?"
"Yes, dearest," he said, They have come.
It is as it should be, she whispered. Angel, I am almost glad. This happiness could not last. It was too much. I have had enough, and now I shall not live for you to hate me.
She stood up, shook herself, and went forward towards the men.
I am ready, she said, quietly.
The city of Wintoncester lay under the bright sun of a July morning. The rivers in the fields were low, and the streets were busy as people prepared for market day. On a road that came from the west, two young people walked hand in hand. One was Angel Clare. The other was a tall girl who looked very much like Tess. She was thinner, but had the same beautiful eyes. The girl was Liza Lou, Tess's sister. When the two of them had reached the top of the Great West Hill, the clocks sounded 8. From here, Angel and Liza Lou could see everything. In the valley before them lay Wintoncester and its great buildings, the tall church and the tower of the college, and to the left, the old hospital. In front of these stood a large red building with grey roofs, metal windows, and an ugly tower. But it was this tower, and not the beautiful city, that the two young people watched. On top of it was a tall pole. A few minutes after the hour, a black flag moved slowly up the pole and blew in the wind. Justice was done, and God had ended his sport with Tess. The d'Urberville men and women slept on in their vault, unknowing. The two silent watchers bent their faces down, as if praying, and remained there for a very long time, as the flag continued to wave. Then, as soon as they were strong enough, they rose, joined hands again, and went on.
Penguin Readers, Tess of the d'Urbervilles, Thomas Hardy, Level 6. Retold by Anna Truin. Illustrated by Isabella Grott. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2022.